Proudly serving Bayside and Southern Melbourne for 35 years. This is Community Radio, 88.3 Southern FM.
And yes, Southern FM has been on air for 35 continuous years, and The Space Show has been on air for about 33 and a half of those years, if I counted correctly. One of the features in our early series of space shows was the NASA Space Story. And we've still got a few in the archive that we haven't ever used up. So given that it's our 35th anniversary, I thought we'd play a couple tonight. ROSAT is a satellite which was looking at the X-ray Observatory. And it was launched in 1990 on June the 1st and operated for 8 years and 8 months to 1999, February the 12th. Well, here is a story from the folks at NASA. This is reported by Wayne Gruen. Okay, let's go.
NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, presents The Space Story. Okay, take a deep breath, keep your shoulders straight, and don't move. Most of us are aware of X-rays. Wilhelm Conrad Röntgen, a German physicist, discovered X-rays in 1895. And since then, almost everything that can be X-rayed has been. But industrial sites and hospitals are not the only generators of these beams. X-rays are created throughout the universe by great and mysterious high-energy sources. In the late 60s, an Air Force satellite looking at X-ray deflections from the moon by chance discovered Scorpius X-1, the brightest X-ray source in the sky. This discovery led to a series of X-ray observatories. First, the Aruhu in the early 60s, followed by the HEOs, or High Energy Astronomical Observatories. Now, the ROSAT, a German international satellite, will circle the Earth, continuing the search of the X-ray sky. Dr. Charles Pellerin, NASA's Director of Astrophysics, tells us about this 2.5-ton telescope placed in orbit by a Delta II booster from the Cape Canaveral Air Force Station. Dr. Pellerin.
The great thing about ROSAT is that it gives us a picture of the violent universe. It turns out that astronomical objects, when they're involved in violent activities, such as stars that are being swallowed by other stars, material accreting onto black holes, all these dynamical processes make material very hot, typically a million degrees. When material is a million degrees, it emits X-rays. So ROSAT gives us a view into the violent universe. This is very important because the NASA program has a series of missions around this same time, which are looking at different wave bands. The Hubble Space Telescope looks at material typically at 6,000 degrees. The COBE spacecraft, which launched a few months ago, looks at material at only 3 degrees above absolute zero. The Gamma Ray Observatory looks at material at about 10 million to 100 million degrees. And so ROSAT is a very crucial program to us. Not only does it look at science in its own right, it fills in this missing temperature regime so we can build physical models of objects in the universe across all temperature scales.
This is not the first cooperative space venture we have had with Germany. Dr. Pellerin explains.
The West Germans have been among our very best partners. In fact, I would say our most productive bilateral relationships with another nation have been with West Germany in astrophysics. We've done the Helios program, where the sun was done in some cooperation with the Germans. They are cooperating with us on the Gamma Ray Observatory. We're building a new airborne telescope called SOFIA. They're our major partner. But this is far and away our most ambitious working relationship. Some years ago, I guess about 1975, the Germans, in working with our scientific community, conceived of the need for a modest-scale X-ray mission. This idea of intermediate mission was a very powerful idea, and we began discussions as to how we could do this together. And ultimately, the agreement we reached is that the Germans would build a satellite bus and provide one of the main instruments. We would provide a second main instrument, and we would then launch it on a NASA expendable launch vehicle.
A third nation is also involved with this project, which will add to the body of knowledge about our universe.
There's also involvement of the British as a partnership with the German, and there's a small telescope that mounts on the side of the main system and does measurements in the extreme ultraviolet. It's also a precursor to our own EUVE mission, which will fly next August. It's a similar mission, but not nearly so powerful. So we've been able, with these partnerships, to do intermediate scale missions and keep fresh data coming into our program while we wait for the really magnificent NASA missions, which are taking a little longer, partly because of delays of Challenger and partly because they're very, very complex and expensive programs.
This has been The Space Story, a space and aeronautics report brought to you by this station and NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
As I mentioned, Southern FM has been on air for 35 years. Well, in a few weeks' time, we will be 35 years. 1990. And that report was filed by Wayne Gruen in 1990, just after the launch of ROSAT. As I mentioned, it operated for 8 years and 8 months until 1999. In 1996, it detected for the first time X-ray emissions from comets. Yes, people hadn't believed that they could do that. Also observed was Jupiter, stars and star clusters, supernova remnants, neutron stars, black holes, galaxies, and galaxy clusters. And Wayne mentioned there about the SOFIA Airborne Observatory. It was a Boeing 747. Well, that served for many, many years and was retired just not too long ago. Now, to another X-ray satellite. This is the Chandra X-ray Observatory, which was launched in 1999, July the 23rd, and is still operational. And it found evidence for gravitational redshift. So let's see what the Chandra X-ray Observatory has to say about that.
What do Albert Einstein, the Global Positioning System, or GPS, and a pair of stars 200,000 trillion miles from Earth have in common? The answer is an effect from Einstein's general theory of relativity called the gravitational redshift. This is when light is shifted to redder colors by the effects of gravity. Using NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory, astronomers have discovered the phenomenon in a stellar couple in our galaxy about 29,000 light years, or about 200,000 trillion miles away from Earth. Gravitational redshifts have tangible impacts on modern life, as scientists and engineers must take them into account, for example, to enable accurate positions for GPS. While scientists have found incontrovertible evidence of gravitational redshifts in our solar system, it has been challenging to observe them in more distant objects across space. The new Chandra result provides convincing evidence for gravitational redshift effects at play in a new cosmic setting. The intriguing system, known as 4U-1916-053, contains two stars in a remarkably close orbit. One is the core of a star that has had its outer layers stripped away, leaving a star that is much denser than the Sun. The other is a neutron star, an even denser object, created when a massive star collapses in a supernova explosion. These two compact stars are only about 215,000 miles apart, roughly the distance between the Earth and the Moon. While the Moon orbits our planet once a month, the dense companion star in 4U-1916-053 whips around the neutron star and completes a full orbit in only 50 minutes. In the new work on 4U-1916-053, the team analyzed X-ray spectra, that is, the amounts of X-rays at different wavelengths from Chandra. They found the characteristic signature of the absorption of X-ray light by iron and silicon in the spectra. In three separate observations with Chandra, the data show a sharp drop in the detected amount of X-rays close to the wavelengths where the iron or silicon atoms are expected to absorb the X-rays. However, the wavelengths of these characteristic signatures of iron and silicon were shifted to longer or redder wavelengths compared to the laboratory values found here on Earth. The researchers found that the shift of the absorption features was the same in each of the three Chandra observations, and that it was too large to be explained by motion away from us. Instead, they concluded it was caused by gravitational redshift. In addition to confirming Einstein's ideas from over a century ago, this work also provides a way for researchers to learn about the system itself. For example, the astronomers were able to precisely determine the distance between a gaseous cloud around the neutron star and the star's surface. Scientists have been awarded further Chandra observations in the upcoming year to study this system in more detail.
And that report came from the Chandra X-ray Observatory in 2020, 5 years ago, this month. Well, a bit of an update. Joe Biden's 2024 budget cut funding, saying it should be wound down over several years. And that caused quite a stir in the astronomical world, saying, no, you can't do that. And, well, Trump and his cronies don't think much more of it. So we'll see what happens. It's still operating at the moment, though. And it has revealed that supermassive black holes generate sound waves that propagate through the intercluster plasma across millions of light years. But don't bother trying to listen out for it, because it's many, many octaves below what humans can hear. And now, celebrating Southern FM's 35th anniversary, another story from 1990, this by Frank Tomlinson, and it's about the Fast Aurora Snapshot, which was launched in 1996 August. So this is a little before its launch, and it had a planned mission of 3 years, but it actually lasted 12 years and 8 months. So here we go with Frank, back to 1990.
NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, presents The Space Story. Not all of NASA's projects are front-page news around the world. Many are carried out quietly, almost academically, and only make news after the mission is completed and new scientific facts are disseminated. Several such missions are slated in the early and mid-1990s. One of them is called FAST, for Fast Auroral Snapshot. I asked Dr. David Gilman, the mission manager, if he was talking about the Aurora Borealis.
I am talking about the beautiful Aurora Borealis, the gorgeous northern lights. And we still don't know what's really causing the particles that are trapped in the Earth's radiation belts to suddenly get out of the trap and slide down the Earth's magnetic field lines into the atmosphere and produce the colorful lights that we see as aurora.
The FAST mission will be launched on NASA's smallest launch vehicle, the Scout rocket. It'll be placed in a highly eccentric orbit over the poles to measure what's going on with the electric magnetic fields, the charged particles in the auroral zone, in an effort to find out what produces the aurora borealis. But won't all this science take the romance out of the aurora?
It'll be impossible for anybody to take their romantic out of the aurora. But I might not say romantic so much as eerie. These are eerie lights that flicker over your head. And to find out that they are coming from the interaction of the Earth's magnetic field and trapped radiation belts buffeted by the solar wind hardly takes any of the romanticism out of it.
For anyone who has had the experience of seeing the aurora borealis, the FAST mission may well answer the question that all who see it ask. What causes that? So far, it's an unanswered question, but Dave Gilman hopes to rectify that.
We're in the situation where we have lots of theories that could explain it, and the problem is to go where it's happening and find out who's doing that, which one of these forces is pushing the particles into the atmosphere. I've seen them twice. Once I saw them all night long in a very long drive and wound up driving under them. And the second time I saw them was the gorgeous yellow and red, but at some distance.
The Fast Auroral Snapshot mission was selected as one of three small Explorer missions about a year ago. The others are known as SAMPAX and SWAS. These relatively inexpensive missions will each have satellites that weigh less than 400 pounds. That means the mission cost can be kept down by using the small, expendable Scout rocket as the launch vehicle. Where do the ideas for these small missions come from? Is it a matter of people tossing ideas about and someone says, that's a great one?
It's kind of like that. Scientists, being an imaginative bunch, are able to think of good missions that can investigate important problems. And I think that most people would agree that the problems we're investigating are important in a deep sense. Oftentimes, the scientists will find the physical significance of it, but there is usually also a profound sense that most people would agree that this problem is important. Most people wondering about aurora, most people who have seen aurora think it's important to find out why.
After scientists propose mission ideas for investigation in space, another group of scientists judge whether the problems submitted are important and if it's feasible to do the investigation with the program being planned. Then the winners are selected.
So these three small explorers, for example, are the cream of over 50 proposals that were submitted.
The Fast Auroral Snapshot mission should be launched sometime in 1994. It should give answers to many questions. Till then, we will have to be content to gaze at the Aurora Borealis and ask, what do you think causes that? This has been the Space Story, brought to you by this station and NASA. For the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, this is Frank Tomlinson.
As I mentioned, that was eventually launched in 1996 and had a planned mission of 3 years, but actually lasted 12 years and 8 months. It helped scientists answer fundamental questions about the causes and makeup of the Earth's aurorae. Hundreds of peer-reviewed papers have been published from FAST observations. And some recently launched satellites that we've been talking about here on the Space Show recently are continuing to study the aurora. And you notice there was a mention there of the Scout rocket that was going to launch FAST. Well, it has since been retired and has now been replaced by a rocket of similar size to New Zealand's Electron. This has been the Space Show.